lurking. He's watching. He's waiting. Welcome to Fatal Flower Presents.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Brothers Grimm edition of Fatal Follower Presents. Today, we are talking about our love of horror and soundtracks. As always, my brother and Captain Creature is on the line. Travis, welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so this prompted many discussions that we've had as brothers over the years. I think I introduced you to some really fun music growing up as a kid, and you've introduced me to a lot of cool music as well as a kid and as an adult. Travis, before we get into the thick of it all, how have you been and what's been going on with you?
I haven't been doing too bad. Just working quite a bit, man, and still doing the Horrifying My Friends. We're getting more into foreign horrors, which is always a blast, because that's always been one of my blind spots. So I greatly I love getting into stuff that one of the things that I love about foreign horror is that, like, you can't really predict where it goes because it doesn't follow like these American tropes and all that stuff. So but yeah, other than that, man, it's just been busy with work and stuff like that, home life, just doing stuff around the house, just staying busy, trying to keep up with as much horror as I can.
Now you are kind of patrolling the streets of Gotham City. How's that going for you?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know,
I'm like Penguin.
Quack, quack, quack. Yeah. I just wanted to connect with you. Hopefully I didn't pull you out of your fourth viewing of the Batman in theaters. I wanted to catch you out on the street while you were cleaning up the grime and gristle of the city in your noirish tale that you are living in.
Yes, I saw that for a second time. Still loved it. A little long.
All right.
I think it's just me getting a little bit older too, though. Cause like, it's like, I love a good 90 minute movie. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Well, there might be a little bit of crickets when you say that for Batman. Now, if this was for something like a recent watch, Morbius, then I would not want it any longer than it was. Mm-hmm. But Batman could have kept going for like 5 hours and I would have just sat there. I probably would have went to the restroom about 40 more times.
Yeah. Very. And that's another factor. It's like, I got to piss like every 15 minutes.
Yeah, I feel you there. Yeah. You know, I'm excited to catch that when it premieres on HBO Max, which will be soon at the end of April. So I'm looking forward to that. And so what do you have? So by the time this episode's posts, what do you have this week for Horrifying My Friends?
So depending on when this is posting, I have a movie on the quasi border of, some would say dark comedy. Some would say it has horror elements. Parasite. I know we've had long discussions about that, but we got Parasite coming up. We just released Let the Right One In. And then we'll have Audition coming up, which is another Japanese kind of thriller horror film. Very, very brutal. But yeah, and then from there, just taking it as it goes, kind of. I got to dig back into the calendar. But we're planned out. I think Exorcist 3 is coming up, and a few more that's spacing me right now.
Well, that's cool. And when you're ready to scrape the bottom of the barrel and you're ready to watch some sleazy foreign films, we got to connect, because I still got to catch you with Evil Dead Trap.
Yeah. I've been trying to think of something to do with Dad, and I might like choose Eaten Alive or something like that. Like something just like something trashy to do with Dad.
Well, speaking of Dad and Dad movies, please, listeners, if you are interested in checking out our morbidly Morbius review for the new movie that's out that has the internet coming together for once and saying this movie's trash, even though it may not be the trash you're thinking. So check out that review. Just a quick shout out to some of the new listeners that I've discovered that have been checking out Fatal Follower Presents. I have a couple that have been listening to me in the Philippines and a couple that have started listening from Sweden. And I'm pretty excited to see the Fatal Follower tendrils getting across the globe. So shout outs to you all and for your ongoing support. I hope you found me either on Fatal Follower Presents on Facebook, Twitter, or Horror Amino. All right, Trav. So there's not a whole lot of new news. To be honest, there's not really a whole lot of new horror out or anything that's like horror adjacent, really. Yeah. Is there anything that you're really looking forward to? I know you've been to the theater, so you've seen some trailers that have been out. Is there anything that you're looking forward to that you want to watch?
The Black Phone, Joe Hill's Black Phone, directed by, I'm spacing on the name, Scott Derrickson. I know that's got to be coming up pretty soon. I'm trying to think of some other stuff.
Nope.
Right. Yeah, Nope, which I think probably stands for Not of This Earth or Not of Planet Earth. But that trailer looks freaking rad, man. I'm always down for some more alien horror. I've been reading Communion by Whitley Strieber. If anybody, ooh, yeah, dude, if no one's read that book, like, I know he can be like people have different opinions on, you know, whether it actually happened or not. It's supposed to be like true or whatever. But Whitley Strieber, author of The Hunger, Wolfen, was a horror author, and he claims to be that he got abducted by aliens. But that book is one of the scariest fucking books I've ever read, dude. Like, it is so fucking scary, man.
And I would like to see a really cool noirish detective alien tale. I think that would be kind of cool. Kind of set it like a Dark City kind of thing.
Wait, is the alien the detective?
Could or be. You never know what the twist will be.
I need everything more like Dark City, to be honest with you.
I agree, and I would suggest definitely checking out Dark City if you haven't yet. To any listeners out there, great sci-fi noir, alien thriller, horror, all kinds of things going on. All right, so do you have any other news or anything that you thought of note that was new to you or you wanted to highlight?
How about something that I picked up recently, and I haven't been able to dig into it, but it's brand new.
It's time for Macabre Collections.
All right, so Macabre Collections. Travis, we haven't talked about anything that we've picked up lately. So what have you been picking up?
Not so much Blu-rays or 4Ks, but I got a book called Below, from written by Laurel Hightower. It's out of this recent imprint called Ghoulish Books. So Max Booth III does Ghoulish, the podcast, where he interviews like horror authors and stuff. But this one's about Mothman. So I'm always, I'm always interested in, I'm always into the cryptids, man. The synopsis: while driving through the mountains of West Virginia during a late night snowstorm, a recently divorced woman experiences bizarre electrical problems, leaving her with little choice but to place her trust with a charismatic truck driver. But when an unexplainable creature with haunting red eyes gets between them, she is forced to make one of the toughest decisions of her life. Will she abandon the stranger who kept her safe, or will she climb down below where reality has shape-shifted into a living nightmare? So, that's his imprint of Ghoulish Books. Perpetual Motion Publishing, I think, is also publishing company that he runs. He's a great author as well, Max Booth III. He wrote We Need to Do Something, by the way, if any listeners is trying to place his name. But yeah, that's from Ghoulish Books, and I'm excited to dig into that. As you know, I'm into like aliens and Mothman and all that shit, man. Like, I listen to Art Bell all the time and stuff like that.
That's very cool. I love cryptids, and I've always wanted to go to Point Pleasant in West Virginia. And there is a Mothman Museum there, and it's on the main street of Point Pleasant in the village. And mm-hmm. they have the famous Mothman statue, and I think that's where they were sort of setting the Mothman prophecies. But that book that you have sounds really awesome. I'm going to have to pick that one up.
Yeah, it just came out too. So like, people are hearing this for at a good time, because and I think it was only like 10 bucks or 11 bucks, like a small paperback.
Cool. Anything else you've been picking up or diving into or even reading yourself?
Not really, man. I've been in like a Batman mood and stuff like that. So off and on, I've been digging into manga a little bit more with Junji Ito's stuff. If anybody out there hasn't checked out some of his stuff, like one of his stuff is Gyo, and I think Uzumaki is another well-known one. But I love his short stories, like The Human Chair and Billions Alone and stuff like that. But if anybody like hasn't gotten into manga and wants like a really cool artist to get into, Junji Ito is like amazing, dude. He's an amazing artist.
I never got into manga, and I had somebody ask me the other day if I'd ever seen Akira, which if you haven't, or you have and you're a fan, I think Best Buy has a new steelbook of it for like 14 bucks or something. Mm-hmm. I didn't get into it. So shout out to Doug. He's Doug Connor. He's the one that was kind of talking to me about it. I never got into that, but there is a really cool, I believe it's still on Tubi, called The Wicked City. And it is a 80s horror manga. And it's just really cool. I started watching it the other day. Just kind of picked it up again, and yeah, actually it's from 87, and it's basically sort of like got like these alien sort of creatures in it. The series is by Hideyuki Kikuchi. I did not say that right. It's basically, I'm just looking this up as we talk, but it takes place toward the end of the 20th century and explores the idea that the human world secretly coexists with the demon world with a secret police force known as the Black Guard. If you haven't watched this, Trav, I definitely suggest you watch it. Any listeners out there, it's the only one that I can recommend because it's the only one that I remember getting into. Mm-hmm. I was more into like, what I would have said, the Japanese animation, kind of like the Thundercats in the 80s, like when that came out. Yeah. Or even like Gundam or like things like that. But I would like to explore more horror animated Japanese features. So I think that's cool that you're diving into there. When you find anything that you want to review, let me know, because we should definitely connect to try to do a special bonus episode for some of the stuff, because I would be curious what you would recommend, being a horror fan.
Oh yeah,
for that kind of stuff. So I've been picking up a couple of things. One of the things that I wanted to highlight is, actually, speaking of aliens, I seen that Scream Factory is releasing this, but I just picked this up from Imprint, which is an awesome Via Vision Australian company. And they released Fire in the Sky, which Ooh. Is based on the true story. And the tagline, which it's kind of not really a tagline, but it says, "Alien abduction, November 5th, 1975, 5:49 p.m., White Mountains, northeastern Arizona." I just think that's so cool. It's very realistic on how it plays out. D.B. Sweeney and Robert Patrick are in this movie, and they are awesome. This was directed by Robert Lieberman, and this is a really cool find. If you wanted to bypass Scream Factory and just pick this one up, I will say that most of the stuff that Via Vision puts out, it's through Paramount, and it's through the same transfers, same special features, just a different release. But I picked that up recently at my local Soundgarden record store. But you can find this on eBay, Amazon, or any local record or video stores.
So I'm going to creep you out real quick. But, you know, I told you that I'm big into like aliens and Mothman and stuff like that. Yep. So, you know, that story is based on a true story, right? The abduction of Travis Walton and the loggers and stuff.
Yep. Yep. Dude, it happened in, yeah, it says 1975 here. So, yeah.
None of the guys, the guys got arrested because they thought that they killed him and left him out there. But all the guys swore up and down, and they've never recanted on what happened, which is fucked up, man.
Oh, this is, I think if I was going to recommend having someone watch a movie that scared me, and I don't really get scared much, but this really scares me. Even if you don't see the nightmarish scenes when he is abducted, just the scenes surrounding before he's abducted and afterwards are creepy and eerie. But yeah, I think this is a great movie if you're looking for that, to feel that kind of true crime alien abduction conspiracy idea that you need to fulfill with your viewing pleasure, check this out. I think it's cool. But Scream Factory, I think, is releasing that in June. I got another one here. It's a Ozploitation double feature classic Blu-ray, and it is from Umbrella, which is another awesome Australian distributor. And they released Telekinetic Terror Twofold. Say that a couple times. Patrick from 1978 and Patrick from 2013. I love Fulci's Enigma. So this has that idea, is someone's comatose and they have these powers and they're affecting people around them. And I actually had not seen the original. I'd first watched the remake from 2013 back in the day, and it had Sharni Vinson from Your Next in it. And I was like, ooh, I like her. I'm going to watch this. As soon as I watched it, I was like, I have to watch the original. Watch the original. Really dug it. And also Severin has Patrick Still Lives. And Patrick Still Lives is a famous horror movie for not really being a sequel, but it has a Patrick in a coma in it. What it's famous for is, and if there's kids listening, cover your ears. but there is a sword to the vagina kill in that movie. And it is infamous for being on one of the video nasties because of that, because it's graphic and it's gory and it's this gross. Very cool. Patrick Still Lives. But I checked this out. I got it for pretty cheap. It was $24 for both of these on Blu-ray.
By the way, Patrick in particular, directed by Richard Franklin, who's a very underrated director, also brought us Road Games and Psycho 2. So just a little trivia out there. Yeah.
Yeah. And for all of you, for your A, B, and C region players, this particular release, is A, B, and C. The Fire in the Sky, however, is a region B, so it is locked, but you can always get the region A when it comes out. Let's see, I got a couple more here, and one is, it's a movie I kind of just discovered. I've been diving back more into the 50s horror. I've always loved certain movies in the 50s, but I've never really dug into the bottom of the barrel of the 50s. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those. It's a very cheesy, campy movie that did get a remake. But I think this original is really fun. And it's called How to Make a Monster. And it's from 1958. And it's basically kind of plays like, if you're a fan of DC Comics Batman, the original Clayface, it kind of has that story. It's kind of like it's his story, essentially. He's an actor, and he creates these monsters in Hollywood, and he's kind of getting the shaft from his production company. So he creates these two monsters to go and kill these movie studio moguls. And have you seen this one, Trav?
No, I have not. No.
So if you want to check this out, I believe it's still on Tubi for free. It's infamous for being a black and white film with the climax happening in color. So it's kind of cool. It's a kind of cool shift. I got this from Screen Factory, fun release. I picked it up actually pretty cheap. So How to Make a Monster. The last thing I'd like to plug is the Macabre Collection's spotlight for those indie guys out there that are giving us rabid horror fans what they want, even though they're not even released on any physical media. And I'm talking about Roy Dam from MOD Media Group Archives. I recently just picked up The Bats from 1999 Blu-ray. I also picked up immediately after watching it, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2022 that he released. And the trilogy that I just got in the mail yesterday was the Fear Street trilogy from Netflix. I don't have Netflix anymore. And so I picked up Fear Street trilogy because I loved it. And he had a really good deal. And so shout out to Roy Dam. You can connect with him on MOD Media Group Archives on Facebook, and you can have him send you his listing of all the things that he has. I went through the list of things he has, and it was hard for me not to spend a whole paycheck. But I would like to promote that, and shout out to Roy. Anything else, Trav, that you'd like to plug before we get to the big arena event of top five horror soundtracks?
Yeah, I think I'm ready to go, man.
All right, so I'm going to quit talking and yabbering, and let's get to it.
The bones of a story. The meat of this episode. Follow me for more tasty delight.
All right, Trav, so was this a hard list for you to put together for your top five horror soundtracks?
Not really. And I think all of mine come from a particular era, I believe. At least within a few years, give or take. But yeah, it's a lot of stuff that I mentioned in one of my recent episodes of HMF, like how we don't get a lot of, you know, horror soundtracks or soundtracks in general that take like today's popular music and put it on the soundtrack and release it like they did back in the day, which were like huge. Like a lot of these that we've listed today was like the first appearance of some of these songs, and they were huge songs. But it's kind of like a forgotten kind of art, man. Like, I don't know. I know you reached out after listening to that episode and was just like, dude, we should put together this list of some of the soundtracks that we loved growing up.
Yeah, I know that you and I mean, we were kids in the 90s. You were younger, obviously, than I was. But that is kind of, I mean, of course, I'm a kid in the 80s, but I have that 80s sensibility to me. But when I really started to discover music was in the 90s. And so mine are going to be pretty, mine are going to be pretty focused on the 90s, like that grungy type of music when it was famous. And, you know, when music was becoming something different than the mainstream, like big hair bands. But I think for me, it wasn't hard either. It wasn't hard for me to put together a list because I still listen to some of these soundtracks every day, you know, and mm-hmm. So some songs from them every day, and they're always on my playlist. So it was very quick and easy for me to put together. Really, it was just kind of narrowing it down. Would you say these are your favorites or just some that you'd like to highlight?
I would say that these, I tried to, and I removed a couple like here and there. I tried to select soundtracks that I pull from the most, like have some of my favorite songs on it or, you know, just stuff like that. Like I tried to be like authentic, you know what I mean?
Okay, cool. All right. So let's get to it then. So we'll go back and forth. Trav, what's your number five?
Okay. So my number five, like I said, last minute edit here, Silence of the Lambs, the soundtrack. This one, American Girl by Tom Petty, Alone with by Colin Newman, which I really, really love. I'm constantly listening to that song. And like I said, I've had to make a couple edits because it's like, I got to be real with like what I really listen to, you know, a lot. So I made an edit and yeah, Silence of the Lambs, Alone by Colin Newman, which that's a great fucking record. If anybody has not checked that out, like some of the Colin Newman stuff from the 80s, G. Lazarus with Goodbye Horses, of course, with the famous scene, the tuck scene. I love that fucking song. Like I can listen to that song anytime. But yeah, I had to start with my number five, the Silence of the Lambs soundtrack. Like, it's just, it's one of those soundtracks that when we covered the movie on HMF, like I was listening to that soundtrack, like nonstop all week, like probably for 2 weeks. And, G. Lazarus ended up being one of my, and Colin Newman's Alone ended up being like two played songs of like 2021, which is like, it's a crazy, it's a crazy feat there. But yeah, I got to start with number five, the Silence of the Lambs soundtrack. And this is just to point out again, this is a soundtrack and not score. So, you know, no, there's not going to be like, you know, Suspirias or Halloweens or anything like that. This is all just like songs released on soundtracks.
That's a good soundtrack. I will always remember the Tuck song, and that's how I'll reference that song, because even when it comes on the radio or if it's on my playlist, because it's been on my playlist for a long time, it always just takes me back to that moment, and it's so creepy and so fun. It's just a great song, though. It's just a really cool, like, even if it wasn't attached to that scene, it's just a song that you can vibe to and just kind of like chill out to. And it's the epitome of a 90s song.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Dig it. I dig it. I like that. I like that soundtrack. Love the movie. Love the score. You can't go wrong with Silence of the Lambs. This is my number five is a soundtrack for a movie. I always talk about this movie, about one of my favorite experiences going to the theater with you and mom and dad, but it's I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh yeah.
And this is a soundtrack that I keep playing all the time. It's just a really good way to create a playlist, especially now that time has passed, of 90s songs that maybe weren't even that famous, or maybe some were, but it's just a cool way, like a 90s time capsule. But always, 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 the song from Kula Shaker, Hush, will always be the song that I associate with the trailer of seeing that movie. And back in the day, when this movie was out, 97, I remember driving my car and hearing the trailer on the radio. And that would be the song that would play like right afterwards. And so it's just a cool song. I imagine Helen like running down the street with that song playing in the trailer. Great soundtrack. It's got Summer Breeze from Typo Negative, which is my favorite song of theirs. It's got Offspring, Soul Asylum, Toad the Wet Sprocket, Our Lady of Peace. And one of my favorite bands that I continue to listen to when I'm feeling like kind of like down tempo, maybe cleaning the house, maybe reading, or you know, whatever, but it's from Hooverphonic and it's the Two Wiki song. But that's one of the songs I think that's playing in Helen Shaver's dad's store when she's there looking for her sister or whatever. But I love the soundtrack. I think it's just got a lot of artists that I'm into from the 90s. What about you, Bob? Do you like this soundtrack?
Oh yeah, this would be on my list if it wasn't on yours. Like you said, L7, Soul Asylum, Typo Negative. Typo Negative is one of my favorite bands from that era, and I've always loved. This is one of my favorite horror openings for that reason. How it starts on Summer Breeze, and you get like that pan over the ocean. This also ends pretty hardcore with Korn, with Crowd. Yeah. I've always loved My Baby's Got the Strangest Ways too by Southern Culture on the skids.
Yeah.
When they're at the party and shit.
You know, and that's the thing is like those kinds of songs that are interactive when you're at a party, like that was, those kinds of songs were pretty predominant when I was going to parties, like in junior high school. And so I like those kinds of songs from the 90s where there's, where you have that reaction and they're, mm-hmm. and the kids are doing that. Yeah. That's a fun song. Yeah. So, can't think of The Fisherman any other way without thinking of that soundtrack.
A really, really good soundtrack. And that was your number five, correct?
Yeah. Number five. Let's get to number four.
All right. So my number four, Bride of Chucky from 98, like I said, all from this kind of era. Living Dead Girl by Rob Zombie. It was actually my introduction to Rob Zombie's music. This also has a White Zombie song, Thunderkiss 65, Cold Chamber, Monster Magnet, Judas Priest, Typo Negative, Slayer, Stabbing Westward, Power Man 5000, Static X. I mean, this is like a who's who of that era of rock, of like that, kind of like the fringe kind of horror rock, like Power Man 5000 and White Zombie and Rob Zombie. But yeah, it even like throws in some like old school stuff like Judas Priest and Slayer. The Power Man 5000 song, Son of X 51, I really like from this, as well as the Blood for Days by Static X. But my favorite on here, this had to be on my list. I almost put, and I hope this isn't on your list, but I almost put The Faculty here because The Faculty is also another a fantastic soundtrack.
Yeah, that was going to be one that was on mine because it's got Stabbing Westward.
Haunting Me or what's that song? Yeah. But I had to include this because of Living Dead Girl, and that it was like my intro to that song, and it just plays so well with the movie. I remember, you know, just like all the advertisements and stuff like that, and then watching this movie as a young kid. But yeah, my number four has to be Bride of Chucky from 98. So many good soundtracks from that era.
And like you always say on your podcast, if Andrew Bolt's listening, this is where we're going to talk about Rob Zombie for a minute. So Rob Zombie gifted us the Universal Monsters song, the score for Tiffany with that Living Dead Girl. Like, mm-hmm. I can't not think of that song and not think of Tiffany and that badass scene where she's putting on makeup and she's being all dolly and bitchy and like awesome.
Yeah. And the lightning, the lightning striking. It's just like a perfect mood.
It's great. It's a mood that I live up to every morning when I'm getting ready and putting on my black lipstick.
And I can't promise that Rob Zombie won't come up again. Just spoiler alert.
he's definitely going to come up again. He's a great soundtrack kind of guy. Like, a lot of his songs are on a lot of soundtracks that I love. I think Bride of Chucky was one of the... Well, it wasn't necessarily my introduction to Rob Zombie because I did like what he was doing before, but it was just my intro to kind of White Zombie. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's who that sings that song. Mm-hmm. And it kind of pushed me back into that direction of White Zombie. So I love this CD. I still have it. It looks like someone took a bite out of it.
Someone washed their dishes with it.
Yeah. It's been in Cadillacs and Hondas and trucks and Shadows and Manals. It's been in all of my cars. This album fucking rocks, and I've always had it on. And we always had it playing when we were around each other too as a kid. Like,
oh yeah,
it was just one of those we were always vibing to.
Oh yeah.
All right, so my next one, my number four, is a newer one but with some old school cuts on it. I know you're gonna love it. It's Strangers Pray at Night.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's a good one, man.
So I think I finally convinced you that this was the better movie, correct?
I think so. Well, okay. I think it's definitely more fun. Yeah, I'll agree. I'll agree it's definitely more like fun.
You heard it here first, folks. So it's got Kim Wilde, famous opener, Kids in America. It's got Mental as Anything, Live It Up. Kim Wilde, Cambodia. Bonnie Tyler, total eclipse of the heart, and of course, Air Supply, Making Love Out of Nothing at All. Those are the cuts on the soundtrack, and the whole soundtrack, the score is awesome, but what I think worked really well for this soundtrack is it incorporated so well into the movie that if it wasn't in the movie, sure, I would like it, but I don't know how much more I would like it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's a perfect marriage for horror and soundtrack that I can't do one without the other.
Yeah, it really puts you in that mindset of like an 80s slasher kind of thing. It really sets you up for that kind of feeling. And that's ultimately what we all want when we like watch a slasher, is like to be taken back to that place, you know, that comfort zone. And I feel like that soundtrack, like it was used like perfectly in the film as well. Like just spooky, like Kids in America. I can just see that scene when the truck's like idling in front of the trailer and the Kids of America is playing. It's just such a creepy scene, man.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's so fucking creepy, man.
Gabe and I, we watch, we've been watching the American remake of Ghosts, but it's a British horror adjacent show. And so we started watching the actual Ghosts from the UK. And there's a scene where the main actress pulls up and she's listening to Kids in America from Kim Wilde. And the dude that died in the 80s, he's a ghost. He's like, oh, who is that? Is that Kim Wilde? And one of the other ghosts that's displaced out of time, like from like the 1800s, she looks at the actress walking up to the house and she's like, go away, Kim Wilde, or whatever she says. But it's a song that it's just a really cool song. The whole soundtrack was banging, but I love that. I love all those old 80s cuts. But yeah, so that's my number four.
One of the recent examples of that soundtracks haven't totally disappeared, I should say. But yeah, that's a great fucking soundtrack. So my number three, I had to choose one of these films, and I didn't know if it was going to be Scream 1, Scream 2, or what I went with eventually, which was Scream 3. Now, this has some cuts on it, like, what if I... by Creed. But... also, like a lot of these bands, though, like you said, like Rob Zombie, like Slipknot was on a lot of these albums, like with Wait and Bleed. And Wait and Bleed was a huge song. Finger 11, Spiders by System of a Down, a huge song. Time Bomb by Godsmack off their self-titled debut. Static X again, dope. Fuel, Power Man 5000. And one of my favorite tracks on here is Dissension from Orgy off of Candy Ass.
Yes.
But yeah, man, this is a killer soundtrack. When I was trying to decide between the screams, it came really close between this one and number one because of Red Right Hand from number one. But I felt like that Scream 3 like was just more of the time and more of like the music that I listen to day to day.
Yeah, Scream 3 is great soundtrack. I love the first soundtrack. That was one that I still have songs that I listen to. Love the remake of Fear the Reaper on the first soundtrack. Very slow, melodic, and just kind of creepy, vibey kind of thing. But this, I think you're correct in how you place the soundtrack above the others, because I think there are more on Scream 3 that just kind of stand out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And it has more of that harder alternative new metal kind of vibe than the other ones do.
Even the Stained song, Crawl, like, you know, it was back when Stained still had an edge to them. Like, you know, like those first couple records, like Mud Shovel and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Before now he's like country.
Yeah. Now he's like constantly going off on stage and shit. It's like,
yeah,
what's wrong with you, dude?
Right. Somebody got off the meds. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good soundtrack. I think out of all of the Scream associated videos, I love the Creed one. I like how they incorporated Ghostface into it, because they don't do that with a lot of even soundtracks now. Like, you don't ever see like the villain, or that's kind of what I thought was cool with the new Halloween Kills Ghost song.
Yeah,
is Michael was in it and he was playing Michael too, like his version. I think that's a cool thing. That's kind of like a lost art, seeing those creatures or those horror clips I think we talked about this in our Cultivate Your Life cult show, mm-hmm. where we were talking about the Guns N' Roses song that had clips of the Bad Dreams movie in it. And yeah. I like to see that in those sorts of things. Cool pick. And, you know, before we move from Scream, the Scream Five Cream, there's the soundtrack was actually pretty banging on the new one, too. I thought it was good.
I haven't checked that one out. Yeah, I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, it's got some older songs. It's got some newer stuff, but it fits that vibe of the first movie. Like, it's got some indie rock alternative on it. I think you'll dig it. There's a couple old cuts on there that I recognized. All right, cool. All right, so I'm going to I'm taking a trip back to the 80s where we had Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master. And we had some artists that I actually don't even know what happened to or who they are. But we got Vinnie Vincent Invasion.
Oh, yeah.
But we have Skid Rose, not to be confused with Skid Row. Angel, that's a cool song. Don't Be Afraid of Your Dreams. But my cuts on this album is from the Divinyls. Now, before they were Touching Theirself famously, they were Back to the Wall, and Back to the Wall on that soundtrack is a apocalyptic new wave vibe. And if you haven't checked it out, check out that song. Great Divinyls cut. Are you a fan of the Divinyls?
I haven't really listened to them, to be honest with you.
I think you would dig them. You got to be in that I'm having a whiskey on the rocks, I have my hat tipped low and a cigar kind of thing. They're kind of that 80s kind of sleazy nightclub kind of like rocker vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Another cut on this, Dramarama, anything, the famous scene in the movie where he's doing like white boy karate. Mm-hmm. I always want to do that when I'm listening to this song. One of my favorite rap groups from the 80s, Are You Ready for Freddy from the Fat Boys. If you don't know who the Fat Boys are, you better get on it. Before there were Cardi B's and Tupac's, there were the Fat Boys. So get on that. those are the OGs. And speaking of OGs, Billy Idol, Fatal Charm. On this soundtrack. In the Flesh by Blondie, great cut. We got a little bit of, it's a little bit of everything. It's a little bit of rap, a little bit of just all kinds. Sinead O'Connor, I Want Your Hands on Me, great cut from Sinead. And probably my favorite, one of my favorite songs on here is from the actress that ended up playing the main character in this one in Part 5, Tuesday Night, and she performs Nightmare. And Nightmare is a song that is really cool to add to your Halloween playlist and just kind of get creepy and walk down the street and play it and look around you and feel like you're in a Nightmare on Elm Street movie. Great song. So that's my Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4. Have you listened to that soundtrack?
I have not, man. No, that's not one that I'm familiar with. I'm going to have to get on that.
You need to get on the rap song because it's got Are You Ready for Freddy? It's got Robert Englund on it, and there's some rap. So that's all I'll say.
one of my honorable mentions, which was a similar year, 1985's Return of the Living Dead with Surfing Dead with by the Cramps. I'm a huge Cramps fan, so that almost made the list. It did not, though. But yeah, that's a solid what was that, number three?
Number three.
All right, so my number two, Rosemary, Devil's Rejects, which, you know, I think whatever you want to say about Rob Zombie, I think his movies have pretty solid soundtracks. Like, even if you look at his Halloween, his first Halloween has a lot of like Alice Cooper and Kiss and, you know, a bunch of that other stuff. But yeah, Devil's Rejects is kind of like the 70s, like, you know, chill with a joint kind of soundtrack, because it's Midnight Rider by the Allman Brothers, Fooled Around and Fell in Love, Funk 49, Rock On by David Essex, which I love that fucking song. That you know, have you, you've heard Rock On by David Estes, right?
Yep, yep.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain Way, To Be Treated Right by Terry Reid and Freebird. So Terry Reid is notable on this soundtrack because Terry Reid was supposed to be the lead singer of Led Zeppelin originally before Robert Plant. I believe he declined. I think at this point they were the Yardbirds. Don't pull my music card just yet. But apparently Jimmy Page approached Terry Reid to be the lead singer of Led Zeppelin, and he just didn't really want to, you know, do that or commit to it or whatever. But Terry Reid, To Be Treated Right, is like one of my favorite songs of all time. But yeah, I fucking love this soundtrack. Like I said, say what you will about the movie, but the soundtrack is awesome. Like if you're into 70s music.
Yeah. Freebird, I think, is the one that really stood out to me in the movie where like I was talking about Strangers Pray at Night, where there's that fusion of soundtrack, that song into the movie as a character, adding something, and kind of like with the Silence of the Lambs Tuck song. You just can't get away from, and every time I hear that, I can't stop playing in my head the shootout scene at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I would like to forget that, because it's a song that's a little less that and a little more something else, but it's just ingrained in my mind, and that will always stick out to me like that. And he did a great job with that ending.
Yeah, and I think he does a great job throughout the movie, because it's like Midnight Rider plays when they're like tricking that nurse, and then they stab her in the back and take the car and shit, like during their escape. But yeah, one of my favorite soundtracks, Devil's Rejects. That's my number two.
All right. So to keep the Rob Zombie going.
Whoa. Yeah,
I know, right? I'm the one that you wanted. I'm your blank. I'm your super beast.
Ooh.
It is the Porno Holocaust remix from the Valentine 2001 soundtrack.
Ooh.
Love, love, love this movie. Love, love, love the soundtrack. Still have it. It's broken somewhere. I still have it. It went through many states across the U.S. in my cars, and it played many times. Disturbed is on there, God of the Mind. You'll love this one. Love Dump, the Mephisto Odyssey's Voodoo Mix for Static X. great, great remix, great song. Love Static X. Linkin Park, Pushing Me Away, of course. Deftones, RX Queen, Prescription Queen.
It's got song. Yeah, I
great
love that
song.
Tune.
Love it. It's a very chill kind of nu metal rock kind of vibe. Opticon from Orgy. It's got one of the most famous rom-com romantic songs, Valentine's Day, for Marilyn Manson.
I fucking love that song too.
Yes. Amanda Ghost, she is a queen of the goth. Filthy Mind, famous scene in the movie. Professional Murder Music, Fall Again. We got some Soulfly, The Filter, awesome hybrid remix for Take a Picture, Snake River Conspiracy, and one of the most disturbing songs on my list, on all of my lists, is 1 a.m. from Beautiful Creatures, and it's because it has a fucking baby crying as part of the as part of the song, like the beat. And it's creepy as hell, and it's uncomfortable, and it fits with that cherub masked slasher vibe. So that's Valentine. What about you? Did you like this soundtrack?
Oh yeah, that's one of the staples of the, you know, the early 2000s, late 90s period as well. One of the first ones that came to mind really were like Valentine and I Know What You Did Last Summer. Because I remember those soundtracks like so vividly and just listening to them. One of the ones that always stood out was like the Marilyn Manson song on there. And Opticon's one of my favorite Orgy songs ever, too. So, yeah, dude, that's an awesome pick.
And you'll find on a lot of our 90s, 2000 soundtracks that we love, there's a lot of Rob Zombie, there's a lot of Orgy, a lot of Deftones in there, Mushroom Head, Linkin Park, just a lot of those bands that are some, you know, are still famous now. And, but they were really doing a lot of, I mean, the movies that I'm referencing are some mainstream movies, but some of them, they were in like a lot of indie horror then too. Like just, they were in a lot of soundtracks.
Even stuff like The Matrix and shit like that, like Rob Zombie's in The Matrix and Marilyn Manson and Deftones. Yeah.
You know, and The Matrix was one that I was thinking too, because like The Prodigy and like all of that, not horror, but it's definitely one of the ones that I remember playing a lot, you know, when we were growing up.
Yeah.
But that's my number two.
So before I read my number one, one of my other honorable mentions, and I'm surprised this didn't make the cut for you. We mentioned Dark City already, but staying with like the same director, I believe, The Crow. The Crow has a fantastic fucking soundtrack. If you count,
Burn.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. My number one has to be Lost Highway, and this was like another late addition, but it's David Bowie, Trent Reznor, The Perfect Drug by Nine Inch Nails, I by Smashing Pumpkins, which is one of my favorite songs by them. Like, period. Actually debuted on this album. On the soundtrack, Lou Reed, more Marilyn Manson, I Put a Spell on You, and Apple of Sodom. Apple of Sodom is amazing. This one's notable because Rammstein. So Rammstein, the song Rammstein, and Heroic Mich by Rammstein off their debut record. David Lynch is actually one of the ones responsible for bringing Rammstein, you know, to the masses of America, really, with this
that was
album.
his greatest contribution to America.
Yeah,
Rammstein. I love Rammstein.
Yeah, and I mean, like, and this was one of the big, like, kind of coming out parties for Rammstein, because before, you know, this stuff was off their first record. So and Lost Highway was a pretty well-known 90s movie, but Lost Highway had to be my number one. I go back and listen to this album like all the time, man. What do you think about Lost Highway? I know what you think about Lost Highway the movie, but what do you think about Lost Highway the soundtrack?
Lost Highway is a fantastic thriller. No, I'm just playing.
Do you like Lost Highway?
I do, yeah, I do. And I do love David Lynch, and I do love that soundtrack. I didn't realize I loved it until I saw all the songs on it, and I'm like, oh shit, that's like everything early 90s. This is like really, was it like 90, 91? Really early, early stuff. And I do like all the songs on it. And I love that Smashing Pumpkins song. I love the, of course, Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor. Marilyn Manson. Yeah, it's a great pick. I honestly didn't even think of that as a soundtrack. For some reason, I was just thinking it was a score. I didn't think they had a soundtrack for that.
Yeah, like The Perfect Drug and I'm pretty sure are like two songs that like debuted on this album. So it's like, you know, I think they still sell this album like on vinyl and stuff like that. But yeah, that had to be my number one.
And if you're looking for a laugh, now that we're talking about Rammstein, and if you want to watch a fun video, it's Keen Lust. And I don't know if you've seen it or if you know about it.
But oh, yeah.
It's a funny, fun song. Great song. But it's a funny video. And they have a lot of funny videos, a lot of deep videos. But I went on a Rammstein video kick the other day. And that was one that I just kept playing over and over because I needed some happiness in my life. So great, great pick.
Lost Highway 1997, by the way. So a little bit later than we thought.
Oh, shit. Yeah. By
the way, I got to say, Rammstein's probably still hands down the best concert that I've ever been to. We saw them in Chicago, and the guy had like he floated with angel wings, and like one of the guys was all in leather. Like the keyboardist was all in leather with a ball gag in his mouth, and like it was just wild shit, man.
I didn't know you'd seen them live. That's cool.
Yeah, dude, they closed out one of the festivals that we went to, and they were awesome.
I would love to see them live. I found them on quite a bit of horror soundtracks too, or even more of like the early 90s movie soundtracks.
What was awesome was when they did America, which is of course a scathing song about America.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
A bunch of like douchebags in the crowd were like, USA, USA. I was just like, you fucking tools, dude.
Because they didn't understand
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. The lyrics, sometimes war. Coca-Cola, sometimes war.
Yep. It's a great video too. I love that where they're in like have the suits on, like basically like a NASA astronauts. That's a good pick. And that is now is that your favorite soundtrack on your whole list?
I think so. I think this is the one that I return to the most because, like I said, I even like the David Bowie song "I'm Deranged." It's like strange. It's a strange fucking song by him, but I even like that. You know.
It's a perfect encapsulating moment for the 90s, late 90s, early 90s music on there. That's a cool pick. I'm going to go to nu metal for my last one. I thought you were going to keep Freddy versus Jason on yours because that's a good soundtrack.
It is, dude. Yeah, it is.
It's a really good, I love the Mushroom Head song on there.
Oh, yeah.
Really cool songs. I didn't pick that for number one. My number one is still one that I listen to all the time because I love Jonathan Davis, and it's Queen of the Damned. And whatever you think about the movie, the movie's entertaining enough if you are a fan of certain things. I do love watching it now and looking at that time frame in horror history. It's pretty cheesy, but there are some cool moments. And I'm a huge fan of 90s R&B, and I love Aaliyah too. And so when this came out, and all of my friends and I, it was Bobby and Marianne and me and Ron, we were all into watching Aaliyah in a horror movie. And we were so sad when she died, of course. So it's cool that she got to be in this movie. What I really think was the downfall is not featuring her in the soundtrack. I really wanted to get a rocky kind of song from her because I feel like she had it in her because she had some of that. She had that edge to her. And so either way, I love this soundtrack. It starts strong with Forsaken by Jonathan Davis, performed by Jonathan Davis. It's got violin. It's very gothy. Redeemer, again, Jonathan Davis, but Marilyn Manson's in there. You got System from Jonathan Davis, performed by Chester Bennington, RIP. A great song. Lots of violin, lots of really gothic, atmospheric nu metal songs. Probably my favorite on the album is Slept So Long, and that's performed by Jonathan Davis. Not Meant For Me, great song, again, performed by him. Body Crumbles by Dry Cell. You got Wayne Static from Static X performing Cold, which is an awesome song.
Oh, yeah.
Papa Roach, Dead Cell. Mm-hmm. You got Stay Down by Candy Hateful. Tricky, one of the famous bands out there that also had a really cool song on the 13 Ghosts soundtrack. This is called Excess. You got Wide Open Cage, which is like indie band. Earshot, Godhead, Penetrate, awesome song. Disturbed is on here. Deftones, of course, with Change in the House of Flies. Always love that song. My favorite Deftones song. Kidney Thieves, and even more artists on there. I think there's one from the lead singer of Orgy. It's just a really great marriage of Jonathan Davis doing something different from Korn, and sort of he's really showboating is what he's doing. Is he's showing, hey, I can do all of this, but look what I can also do with guest stars. Mm-hmm. And he just delivered a really awesome goth album that plays into the movie because it's the lead singer Lestat singing these songs, which is what hypnotizes people and puts them into this vampiric trance. But regardless of the movie, the soundtrack is killer. I love this song. I love the soundtrack. One of my favorites, probably my favorite soundtrack that I've listed today. What about you?
Yeah, like, and you still hear this to this day. Like when someone brings up Queen of the Damned, somebody will be like, yeah, the movie's not so good, but the soundtrack is killer, man. Like, that's just one of those that like always comes up even to this day. But yeah, with Jonathan Davis and that era of artists and stuff, like, you can't go wrong, man. I fucking love that. I love that soundtrack. I don't know if you have any notable mentions or honorable mentions, but one of the another one that I cut was Demon Knight, Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's Pantera, Cemetery Gates, Ministry, Machine Head, the Melvins on there, Sepultura. There's even a Grave Diggers song. But yeah, that's a killer soundtrack as well.
Yeah, that's a good one. I do like that one. I love that movie. I was going to put Urban Legend from 98. Famous, of course, Bonnie Tyler is featured on this one, like she is on Strangers Pray at Night. Again, in another scene where this song plays an instrumental role in what the characters are doing, Total Eclipse of the Heart. You got Summer Days, Spook Show Baby, again, Rob Zombie.
Oh, yeah.
Juliana Hatfield, Try Not to Think About It, love them. Stabbing Westward, Save Yourself, my favorite Stabbing Westward song. I actually had this album, and when it was featured in the movie, I just kind of let out a giggle because I love them, and I love who's listening to it, the gothy girl, of course, in the movie. Another famous song, which I know you really love, is from Paula Cole called I Don't Want to Wait. I love this song because it makes me think of the 90s, and of course Dawson's Creek, and of course it's played here in this movie like tongue in cheek. You got Junkster in there. You got some other random Monster Magnet, Ohio Players, the Cherry Poppin' Daddies with Zoot Suit Riot, famous song. Of course, one of my favorite rave groups from back in the day, the Crystal Method with Coming Back. Great song, great soundtrack. Very, it's very much more low key than the other teen slasher soundtracks, but there's some really good all decade sort of songs arranged on it, not just 90s music. So I thought I would highlight that one. And of course, I was talking about the Freddy versus Jason, which is one that, you know, I love as well. There hasn't really been any newer ones other than the ones I mentioned earlier. Yeah, I think with that, I really revisit the ones that are in my top five here. Those are ones that I continue to go back to. I'll pluck some songs from those soundtracks into my new playlists, and I'll create some Halloween playlists or even just some everyday playlists that I listen to. Any other mentions there, Bub?
I don't think so, man. I think I covered everything that I wanted to bring up.
All right, cool. So this is a fun episode. I definitely want to do another one of these where we get into more of a deep dive of soundtracks and maybe do something a little different with maybe some horror scores or something. I think that might be a cool episode to kind of tangentially connect to this one.
Scores would be tough. Scores would be really tough.
Scores would be tough, definitely. Yeah, there's so many good horror scores out there. And I just wanted to plug something that Fatal Follower is going to be doing the first week of May. I am going to be following new comic book attendees at the Secret Comics Cave in Oneonta, New York. So you can find me there recording people, interviewing the comic book store owner, getting some rubbing elbows with some comic book creators, getting signatures, getting all kinds of probably side eyes and tomatoes thrown at me. And that's what Fatal Follower does, is he follows people around and sees kind of what they're up to and highlights them. And that's what I'm going to be doing first week of May. So by the time this episode airs, you can check me out and meet me there in person. If you'd like to say hi, feel free to do that. That'd be it for the show. Trav, you want to plug where we can find you and where we can see you creeping around these days?
Yeah, on all your favorite podcast platforms, Horrifying My Friends, and on Facebook and Instagram at Horrifying My Friends, and on Twitter at Horrifying MF. But yeah, this was fun, man.
Yeah, super fun, super needed. It's been a while since we connected and talked horror, and I always enjoy our Brothers Grimm edition episodes. And with that, you can reach Fatal Follower Presents, a podcast, on Facebook, Twitter, Horror Amino, and that's it. Stay safe, stay spooky, keep listening to the killer jams on those soundtracks, appreciate those old ones, and hope for some new ones out there. Take care. Bye-bye.
What if I...
Whoa, you!
Fate is for stopping by, right? Well, there's Guerrero.